Hello, this is Stevie Castanon from MusicalTribe.com, and I'm speaking with Matthew Broughton, a.k.a. Matty B, who is a singer-songwriter based out of Santa Barbara, California. Hello, Matty.
Hey, hey.
So your debut release is a five-song EP called Heart's Desire. Now, what I find distinct about it is that it features you on the guitar and vocals and a percussion player, and that's it. So what led you to go that route instead of, say, doing something with a full band?
You know, I would have loved to do something with a full band, but I just didn't have the musicians at the time that were dedicated enough and ready to go that route. So I actually started out as just a solo artist doing my own thing. And then I was actually at a open mic when I ran into Andy G, who's my drummer. And he said, you know, do you need a drummer? And drummers are hard to come by. So, of course, we started jamming right away that night after the open mic. We went back to the house and jammed. And that was five, six years ago, and been playing music together ever since.
Nice. My favorite song on that EP is Can't Hide It. And
yeah,
it's very different from the other songs in that it's got a very chilly, introspective tone to it, as opposed to the more grooving, upbeat flavor of the other tracks. So what's that song about?
Believe it or not, I'm religious, and religion is a pretty big part of my life. And a lot of people think that the song's about a girl, but it's actually about God.
Ah,
which is an interesting twist on it. Yeah. So, but I find that people actually, a lot of people like my slower songs, and you know, maybe I need to write more slow songs, because I do have a lot of upbeat songs, but the slow songs tend to get people too. So,
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And you have a very distinct vocal style, and I can't think of anybody else that sounds quite like you.
Thank you.
Have you ever been compared to any other artists?
People try, but I don't know if anybody's gotten too close. I think the one that I get the most is Dave Matthews.
Really?
Kind of like an acoustic Dave Matthews thing. Yeah, but you know, I've definitely got more of like the growls, and then I do that high quiver, you know, the and a lot of my stuff. And like you said, I can't really, it's, you know, it's hard because people that have never heard my music before, and I'll bring it up, and they'll that's the first question they ask me is, well, who do you sound like, or what kind of music is it? And trying to classify it or compare it to something else to give them an idea of what to expect is kind of hard.
I think the only person that I could even come close to comparing you to would be like Jeff Buckley, because he does even though you sound nothing like him, but he embellishes stuff vocally like you do.
Sure.
Which is very, you know, very distinct style. Your tunes have a free flowing feel to them. So how do you usually approach songwriting? Are you more improvised, or do you have a structured approach in your songwriting?
Pretty improvised, but there is a little structure that comes in. So I've learned that I cannot sit down and try and write a song. I can't just grab a stretch sheet of paper and a pen and say, okay, I'm going to write a new song right now. It's going to come out like Cat in the Hat, you know, single syllable words, and nothing is catchy or anything like that. And so, you know, sometimes I'll go a month or two without writing anything new, but then a lot of the times the songs come really quick, you know, one after another, and some of the really good ones come out in only a couple minutes, 5-10 minutes, and the song's, you know, pretty much done.
Wow.
And so when I get this feeling, I know, you know, I've got a new chord progression, and the mood is just right, and I pick up the guitar and I can tell that something's about to happen, I bring out my recorder and I just freestyle for a couple minutes to the chord progression, and I'm almost like a spectator taking a back seat. You know, I just kind of let it happen, and I'm not even conscious of the words that are coming out of my mouth. I'm just, you know, free flow, just words coming out of my mouth. And some of the rhymes that come out, and the phrases, the way the words go together are just, it's unreal. And I kind of look back at it and I say that came out of me. I don't think that I would have ever consciously written something like that. So it's definitely a subconscious thing. And so then I go through the freestyle, and that's where I start to write stuff down and break it apart and kind of build a structure to it, start to put together verses. You know, maybe there's some mumble jumble in between the good parts, so I pull that out, just keep the good stuff, and start to build that structure of verses and choruses. Yeah.
So you're channeling.
I'm channeling. Yeah. No, like I said, it's all of my songs are 100% subconscious as far as the lyrics go. Nothing is really consciously written. It's all,
wow,
it's all coming from somewhere else inside of me. Yeah.
That's great. Who are your musical influences?
Geez, you know, there's so many of them. I'd say as far as a full band goes, by far number one is Dispatch. I've followed them for years and years, and seen them many times in concert every chance that I get, and especially now that they're back together. Ever since they've been back together, I've been trying to catch every show I can. So they're definitely a big influence, even though their music maybe isn't similar to mine in a lot of ways. I'm definitely a huge fan, and I do get inspiration from that. As far as singer-songwriters go, John Mayer is a big one too. You know, a lot of people, John Mayer, you know, people like him, people hate him, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, he's got a lot of poppy stuff, but he's got a lot of great singer-songwriter stuff too, and a lot of great bluesy stuff. So, you know, he's a huge influence. The Avett Brothers, love the Avett Brothers, get a lot of good stuff from them, see them as many times in concert as I can. Mm-hmm. That whole folky blues influence kind of thing going on. And another one would be Sarah Bareilles, actually. Big Sarah Bareilles. Yeah, I'm the one guy in the crowd of girls with the sign that says "Marry Me," you know, jumping up and down at a Sarah Bareilles.
So that would be your musical celebrity crush.
Yeah.
So what type of music did you grow up with?
You know, a little bit of everything. I would say as a kid, I just kind of listened to the radio, and I had Nirvana, Bush, a lot of grungy early 90s stuff, Sublime, you know, a little bit of everything. But it wasn't really until I was older that I really started, you know, dialing in. I think it was, you know, as I started to dial in my music as a musician, mm-hmm. is when I started to really follow other musicians and pull inspiration from them and kind of dig into the music scene deeper. You know, that kind of like a snowball effect going on there.
You gig a lot, both solo and with a band. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference?
Well, now that my band is getting tighter, I love jamming with the band. But you know, I still feel like I have more control, when I do solo acts, and also a lot of the solo acts are at quieter, mellower places where people mm-hmm. are maybe paying attention to the music more. And it gives me an opportunity to play some of those slow songs that people uh-huh. really like. And with the full band, it's harder and to get those slow songs in there. And, you know, the whole vibe of the full band and the kind of gigs that I'm playing with the full band don't necessarily allow for that. And that's probably the one thing that I miss about the solo-ish gigs. Mm-hmm. But definitely loving the full band. And at first it was more of a jam band where, you know, I'm kind of doing my singer-songwriter stuff and everybody's just kind of following along, and they know the songs, they know the key, but nobody really has their parts, and everybody still loves it, and everybody just assumes that we know what we're doing when really it's a lot of freestyle jamming going on stage. But now the band's getting a little more serious. Everybody's really knowing the songs, and you know, we're working on our second album now, our first full length, fully produced album. And so, getting in the studio and really dialing in each song is forcing my band members, my lead guitar player, to actually write very specific parts for each song and things like that. And so now, when we're playing live on stage, that's starting to come out, which is great, because you know, I want people to hear that lead guitar line or that bass line and recognize it from the song and not have it be some freestyle. Right. You know, freestyle's great, but it's cool to have, you know, continuity.
Yeah, something people can latch onto and kind of anticipate when
absolutely.
They hear you play.
Yeah, and you know, I feel personally, you know, it's not always the lyrics that people latch onto. Sometimes it is the melody of the lead guitar or something like that that is even catchier, the thing that catches people more than the lyrics themselves on certain songs. So,
and sometimes it's about how tight you're wearing your pants.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I definitely like to wear my pants pretty tight.
So tell me about your first gig.
Oh, first gig, geez. First gig would have been at Good Cup Coffee House here in town years ago. Nervous as hell. It went well, though. But I remember back then I used to get so nervous before I played live, and you know, quivering hands before I got up on stage at a coffee house in front of 10 people or 15 people, you know. And, you know, I think it's like anything else. Just the more you practice, the more you get used to something, it becomes more familiar to you. And now, you know, we're playing, you know, a show a week, something like that, sometimes more. And I'm totally comfortable. You know, if I was to have to give a speech in front of a crowd of people, I'd still get nervous. But there's something about the music and being on stage with the guitar that I have no nerves now, none whatsoever. And it's just another gig. And it's great because it allows us to have fun on stage. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is, you know, people are digging the music. But when they see the performance and they see how much fun you're having on stage, people connect to that, and that brings in, you know, more connection with the music as well.
Yeah, I think that coffee house stuff is some of the scariest stuff to do because you're alone, and every bad note, if you hit bad notes, gets heard.
Oh, they're hearing it. Yeah, oh yeah.
It's intimate, and I think people underestimate just how difficult and how stressful that type of environment is.
Yeah, you know, some of our one of the places we're playing a lot now is the Oriana Winery in the Funk Zone. It's actually looking like we might become the house band over there. And it's a great venue. We play 3-hour sets, and, you know, people are listening to the music, but everybody's drinking wine, having a good time. And so, like you said, it's not like that coffee house where you can hear crickets chirp and every single bad note is going to be heard. And so we jam out for 3 hours and we're dancing on stage and, and, you know, pulling all the moves, and it's a great time. But, you know, we can get away with that because you can hit a lot of bad notes and mess up a lot.
Yeah.
Nobody even notices. You're just having a good time on stage.
And you could float a bunch of sour ones out there.
Oh, sure.
Especially when they're drinking.
And that's another thing about having the full band is the full band, when you've got that many instruments going at once, it covers a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it all kind of blends together. So, you know, there's a lot of times that I'll hit a sour note, but the bass and the lead and the drums just cover it. No, nobody's the wiser. So,
if you're going to take dance lessons, which of the following would you take? Breakdancing, river dancing, line dancing, or pole dancing?
Oh, geez. That's a tough one. You know, I'd probably do line dancing.
Because of the tight pants.
Oh, because of the tight pants. Yeah. But I've gone to a couple country bars where they're doing line dancing stuff, and it always looks like so much fun. And I want to join in, especially when there's a bunch of cute girls out there doing it. And you know, I've just never had the skills, so I've always had to hold back. But yeah, I'd like to try it out.
What do you think is the best song ever written?
Oh my goodness, best song ever written. That's a tough one, maybe even impossible. You know, recently I heard a cover band do No Quarter by Led Zeppelin, and it's kind of been sticking with me recently. I mean, you really can't go wrong with anything by Zeppelin, but I'd say personally, my favorite song of all time ever written probably changes on a regular basis, you know, kind of rotating depending on my mood and style of music I'm listening to at the time. But yeah, right now I'm kind of feeling No Quarter by Led Zeppelin. Also, I'm a huge James Taylor fan, pull a ton of inspiration from his stuff. You know, Copper Line, Close Your Eyes. You know, I love his style, his singing, and the message behind his music too. So, but to try and pin it down to one song, I don't know.
Anything by James Taylor.
Anything by James Taylor, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. I have to say Copper Line's one of my favorite songs of his though, of all time. Love
it. Nice. What was the first concert you ever went to?
First concert I ever went to was actually a Santana concert.
How were you on that?
Jeez, I was probably 10 or 11, and my dad took me. I was living in Houston at the time, and yeah, it was a great experience. Got to smell pot for the first time. I knew what that was.
It's like, are there skunks in here, Dad?
Yeah, I'm with my dad, and he's like, "You smell that? That's drugs, son."
Then you became a man.
And I became a man. But, you know, I think that's a good first concert. Santana.
That's respectable.
Respectable, absolutely, yeah.
Who would you like to be trapped in an elevator with?
Oh, trapped in an elevator with? Scarlett Johansson.
Maybe that can happen somehow.
Maybe that can happen. Yeah. Yeah. I just got to keep working on my music and get to that level where I'm meeting celebrities.
That's right. So how can people find you on the web?
We're on Facebook, and we're also online, MattyB.com. And then my EP is available all over the place. You can listen to it on Spotify. It's available on Amazon, iTunes, all that kind of stuff. And then we've got the new album that we're working on that I'm hoping to have out by summer. So that's really exciting too, to get that out there to the world.
And on Spotify, it's under Matty B, or is it Matthew Broden?
I believe you can look it up both ways, but I think it's Matty B. Just to be safe, I'd go with Matty B. And that's M-A-T-I-E-B, all one word, no space.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for talking with me today, and I look forward to hearing your new EP.
Yeah, it'll be great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Thank you.